Fellow Freedom fans, we're back with the Faith and Freedom Show. David Allen Carmichael here. The number is 888-850-1872. You're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM, Truth in Broadcasting here for the Liberty Works Radio Network. We had, I noticed that one of the broadcasters yesterday mentioned something that was in the Ocala. At Ocala.com is pretty much what we do. We sit here and we access things via the internet, and there is an article that was there yesterday that's still there. I really encourage you to check it out. It has an article about your famous Ocala legend is Don Garlitz, and obviously he's from this area, Tampa Bay area and other places in this area where he grew up. These are where his roots are, and he's a racer. It talks about his having the first of 13 models of the new Challenger that were designed for racing. And he's approaching 78 years old, as I understand it. He's in there just really having a good time with these machines. So it's just good. It's just good stuff. Also, I stumbled on something. I was doing a search on Don Garlitz after I had interviewed him at for a live broadcast from a racing event where he was appearing. He's got some great opinions. I'll tell you what, he's a wonderful guy to interview because he answers your questions with a story. Very exciting stuff. He's got a fascinating life, fascinating stories, and his stories will apply to something. You can actually take what he says and do something with it when he tells you a story about his life. So it was very good. But I was on the internet, and I did a search, a video, Don Garlitz video, and I might have punched in a couple other words. And there's an interview that somebody did with him back in the 70s that had him explain a situation where when that engine blew up, when his car blew up and the engine cut off part of his foot, and he had a hospital experience where he was in great pain and making decisions about whether he was going to take pain medication or not. Just very, very fascinating guy. I really encourage folks to check out that if you want to make a search on Don Garlitz video. And just, it's an amazing story. You might even type in amazing story. You never know what you'll come up with. So again, that's in Ocala.com. We've got to give them a plug because it's one of the sources we go to for some things that are in the news. That's true. I'm going to have a interview here in the next few minutes, the next segment. There's a Nathaniel Raymond, and he's from Physicians for Human Rights. He and his organization are checking into allegations that there was essentially a mass murder of about 3,000 people that surrendered in Afghanistan. And so it's kind of interesting. We'll be talking about that, and you'll say, well, why does it matter to me? Well, hey, you got American soldiers, your sons and daughters now, are going overseas and putting their lives on the line. And I think that's pretty important. Wouldn't it be horrible to just send somebody overseas and in a war condition and not know why they're there? I would think that you'd be very concerned. Today what I did is, and I've done this before and I haven't really gotten any good information, I typed in, what about the Afghanistan war? Does anybody know about the Afghanistan war? Wow, what I found out, I found a report that came out in the year 2000. Regarding Afghanistan. And it was telling you the situation with the Taliban and the various General Dostum who prevailed over a certain faction, prevailed over the Taliban, and then had been ousted and was off in Uzbekistan. And they had all these just crazy things going on all the way up to 2000. One of the things they said in this article is the United States, and I don't think it was the Arab American Oil Company. I'm trying to think which oil company it was, but there was an oil company they mentioned. Their hopes of having a pipeline and transporting oil through Afghanistan looked very dim. Now, that was in 2000. So I wonder what the status is there. I'll have to continue to check into this story just to find out what's going on. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist like it's all an oil war and all that. Yeah, it might be. I don't know. I figure it's worth looking into. And obviously, if you're at war and you can move oil, well, I guess there's something would not make you not do it. So I want to look into that and find out who are really the bad guys. Are the Taliban the bad guys? Have they always been the bad guys? there very well may be the bad guys. And as I was doing a little bit of homework, I found out that just up to about the year 2000 and prior to the terrorist attacks in 2001, the Taliban were sort of the good guys for the Americans. There were certain things about the Taliban, about their strict, strong arm, that kept things in order in a very volatile place. And I think the United States was hoping to have a little stability there, and maybe just, I guess they play different factions against each other, hoping to get some sway either against Iran or, you know, I mean, it's, if you go and read the history of it, what it is you've got Iran on one side, you've got Pakistan on the other side, and the other side of Pakistan, you've got India, and it's kind of like there's so many crazy different factions in Afghanistan that it's kind of a place where a lot of, let's say, nations and people groups have some interest, and it's very unstable. And there's a lot of different factions that are playing against each other and things like that. So it's very intriguing story. And we don't know anything about it in America. What I did, so we're going to have an interview from Physicians for Human Rights. And his name is Nathaniel Raymond. He'll be on our next segment. So look forward to looking into that. I found an article from the Wall Street Journal. And it's a gentleman named Peter Brimelow, and this is a market watch by the Wall Street Journal from New York, and he says that a top-performing letter that predicted the crash of 2008, now this letter came out, I actually read the letter, was December of 2007. This was a organization, a guy who runs an organization who's of investors. And he writes letters talking about what people should be investing in. And I think some of the mainstream investment groups kind of think of the guy as sort of a renegade. But he came out and said in a December 2007 letter, he explained why there was a looming financial catastrophe. And, you know, people have been talking about the debt and things like that. But he got into a little more detail of why there was something very close. Now, this same guy, who the Wall Street Journal has said he had the best financial letter of 2008, you know, as 2008 was looking back at the end of the year 2007 article this guy wrote. I'll tell you about the investment. His name is, if you want to check into this guy's investments, the guy who predicted this stuff, and the Wall Street Journal is giving great acclaims to, even though I think they thought he was kind of a heretic. His name is Harry Schultz, and it's a Harry Schultz letter. And it comes from hsletter.com, hsletter.com. And Wall Street Journal said that Harry Schultz, his letter was picked for Letter of the Year by the Wall Street Journal in 2008 because it really did predict what was rightly called a coming financial tsunami. But its performance in 2008 was still terrible, albeit arguably for technical reasons, and I'm not sure, I guess I could, let me just dodge that one so I don't get into too painstaking a detail here for entertainment's sake. But let's see what he's predicting now. So the Wall Street Journal, Peter Brimelow, is saying that Harry Schultz, says that there's going to be he's now predicting a confiscatory, Franklin D. Roosevelt-style, quote-unquote, bank holiday. But it's surprisingly, let's see, he says it's, well, that's what he said, a bank holiday. And when I looked over some of just a cursory look at some of the things the guy was talking about, he was talking about that just prior to the crash, when I read the article about he was predicting a financial catastrophe, he was talking about how the governments or the banks and the governments, and sometimes you can't tell which one is who and who's doing what, but they were having this thing where they were keeping U.S. dollars from going overseas and overseas dollars coming to the U.S. And then just this past week, we found out from Representative Alan Grayson of the 8th District when he was challenging Ben Bernanke in Congress in the congressional committee meetings, challenging checking out and keeping on tabs on the Federal Reserve. He posted a question. He found out that only since the financial catastrophe, now the federal government is swapping things. They're basically giving money over to a central bank in Europe so that that central bank can get Federal Reserve notes out to all these other little banks all over the world. In fact, he mentioned New Zealand, for one, was getting a loan of United States dollars from a European bank to the tune of over $3,000 per person in New Zealand. So there's, and now that may not seem like a big deal to you. Say, okay, that's a bunch of financial guys juggling their markets. Well, actually, and this matters to some, have called this station and have mentioned some international bankers and the strange committees and guys that are actually influencing the actions of the Federal Reserve. There was some things in the news that people were complaining about this new mechanism they're trying to come up with a global currency. And they haven't actually come up with a global currency per se, but kind of these loan credits, a central universal global bank loan credits to stave off financial, because of this financial catastrophe that's now global, is these loan credits. So this central banking system can control basically the global money system more readily. And one of the things I read in the report when I went to the, is it the IMF website, is I was checking out this website and I was reading how they were encouraging all of these little banks to all over the world to start basically picking up all kinds of currency, make sure that they take what they have and exchange it for currencies all over the world. And they were discouraging the use of the Federal Reserve note, the dollar, so to speak. So that was going on. I noticed that. And then so that was just a little bit of detail I picked up from doing homework, getting ready for the show. And that was a few weeks ago. Now, as this guy is predicting that there's going to be a bank holiday, guess what he talks about? He talks about one of the symbols or the signs being this strange event where this International Monetary Fund and this the kind of the global central bank thing, and some of them board members on that board are on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank, by the way, they're telling all these little countries and banks all over the world to start basically picking up a little bit of everything to back up what they have. A little bit of everything, but not Federal Reserve notes. So this guy, yeah, so he says that he just mentioned in this article, this Harry Schultz, that is one of the symbols or the signs that there's something looming that's bigger, that could basically rock your financial world again in very short order. In other words, with no notice and have a significant impact in a short period of time. So that's something I checked out today. But when we're going to come back from a break here shortly, and I'm going to be interviewing somebody about something that's happened in Afghanistan, which will tell us something about what's happening in Afghanistan. It also will give us an opportunity to take our little spectacles and look at the current government administration and find out what they're doing. Do they do what they say they want to do? When they say something, what's really happening? Is the basis of their actions today based on what is the basis of their actions have something to do with what they say their actions are based upon? Or is there something else that's been going on for quite a long time that's really driving the person who happens to be the elected official? Is the current administration carrying out their own ideas, or are they merely implementing something that may be extra governmental? Is there an extra governmental influence that's basically directing the chief executive of our nation and who are directing the policies and ideas and things that are happening in Congress? Are there things happening globally that are being driven by extra governmental forces? What is the constitutional take on it? Is there a biblical take on it? What's the right? What's the wrong? That's what we're always going to review things back to. Keep tuning into the Eagle 104.3 FM. Burn some calories with your brain when you come back. And we got a great interview. Pay attention. It's going to be good.